want to say good morning to everybody that gathered here today. This is my first trip to Bethel Washington Church in person. I've known Brother John, Sister Gladys for, I'm going to guess, 20 plus years. And now for 4 years, probably about 4 years this month, I'm guessing, Bethel Washington Church has hosted the Zoom meetings, which have been such a blessing, such a benefit to so many of us. So I'm happy to see you. I've got to open my remarks with something I said on Wednesday night. So any of you that were on there, you're going to hear again what I said then. As I tried to introduce my remarks that day, and I keep going back to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where Paul said, if Christ is not risen, then our faith is in vain, and the dead aren't risen, and we're still in our sins. And I want to remind you again this morning, at the beginning of these remarks, that we can rest assured in the fact, but now is Christ risen from the dead.
Amen.
Us gathering together, His name is not in vain. Our faith is not in vain. Our prayers are not in vain. Any labor that we put forth in His name is not in vain. In due season, the Scripture says, ye shall reap if you faint not. So I hope to encourage you and myself today that we continue on steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Recognizing as well that what the Lord said, without me, ye can do nothing. We can put forth all kind of labor and all kind of effort on our own, and it won't amount to anything. But if the Lord is in the matter,
right,
we're to continue on pressing onward in that. I, especially given the amount of brethren that are to follow me, I'm going to make a little personal remark. I was a deacon for about 11 years, I think, before I ever started trying to speak in public. And a lot of times it fell on me to make arrangements. And we'd have a number of elders at one time. And I'll confess to you, they maybe didn't watch their time, but I watched their time for them sometimes. So I'll try to be cognizant of the fact that we have a number of brethren here today to preach, and I pray the Lord bless in each and every effort that's made. Romans, the first chapter. I just want to make a few remarks from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Rome. I'll just start in verse 1. And I would appreciate your prayers. Not that I mentioned this a few Saturdays ago. Not that I'd be spared from looking bad or maybe appearing foolish before the Lord's people, because in the final analysis, that's not of any great importance either. What's important is that the truth be declared, and that whatever we say is according to the Scripture, and thus saith the Lord, and that His name would be glorified. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, knows he starts right out, and the first title that he gives to himself is a servant of Jesus Christ. And that reminds me of what the Lord told His disciples. He said, he that's greatest among you, let him be your minister. And that word minister means a servant, one who serves or ministers to other people. Called to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, was directly called by God, had been eyewitness, had to see him. And Paul said of himself, as one born out of due season, last of all, he was a witness of the resurrected Son of God. And then he said he was separated unto the gospel of God. If we study Paul's life, we'll find it says he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And a Pharisee, that's what that very title meant. They were separated unto the law. And he said, it says he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was separated unto the law. He said of himself, touching the law, blameless. I think it's fair to say that Saul of Tarsus, before his experience on the road to Damascus, nothing in the world meant more to him than to try to observe the law of God. And being a Pharisee, the Lord himself told them that they made the commands of God of none effect by their many traditions that they had added to the law. But when it pleased God to call Paul, and it pleased the God by his Spirit to separate Paul for the preaching of the gospel, from that moment on until the rest of his life, I believe until he took his last breath, he was given completely to preaching this one who appeared to him first on the road to Damascus and said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. Can you imagine what a shock and what a surprise that must have been to Saul of Tarsus when he realized that this one who he had dedicated himself to stamping out the faith, to stamping out the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ as the promised Messiah of God, and appeared unto him there and said, Lord, who art thou? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Paul said, I'm separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So Paul said, this gospel that I'm separated to, this gospel that I've been called and charged to preach, concerns the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we preach anything else and call that a gospel, it is not by scriptural definition a gospel. The gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul calls it in the 20th chapter of Acts, he said he declared the gospel of the grace of God. To declare the gospel as it's defined in the Bible, in the written Word of God, we have to declare that Jesus Christ, there as it said, he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He was a man, fully man. But more than that, and before that, he was declared to be the Son of God with power. He had always been the Son of God. And the resurrection from the dead proved, with no doubt at all, that he was who he claimed to be. He told them several times that he was going to be betrayed in the hands of sinful men. They were going to take him. He was going to suffer. He was going to be crucified, lifted up, and die. And on the third day, he was going to raise from the dead. And the fact that that's exactly what happened, that proved this was verily the Son of God. He was whom he claimed and was declared to be. And it said, by whom? By Christ. We have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. I pondered on that. I'd like to have a discussion about it sometime with my brethren, sisters as well. What's that mean, obedience to the faith? What's it mean to obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm convinced at least partly of what it means. Paul said he was sent to declare that. He was sent to declare that, so that wherever the Lord had people, remember when Paul was going to Corinth and he had some fear and trembling about going, and the Lord appeared to him and said, "Fear not," told him to go on, said, "For I have much people in that city." Paul wasn't going to go and make people for God. He wasn't going to go and make children for God. They were already there. But God was sending him to preach. The Spirit of the Lord was sending him there to preach unto them, that they might be obedient to the faith, or obedient to the gospel. And I believe certainly being obedient means to be in submission to it, a means to be reconciled with the preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fact that when he laid down his life, he accomplished, put away, as Brother Charles said in his prayer, took our sins upon himself and put them as far away as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. Brother Junior and I talked driving up the road today. I've made this statement countless times. Maybe you have as well. I said, I'd be better off if there were a whole lot. We were talking. I'll just relay part of the conversation about some things it's hard to remember. And as you age and look at things way back decades ago, sometimes it's hard to remember. Maybe just remember a little bit of things, but not in detail. Then Brother Junior, or one of us, said, I'd be better off if I could forget a lot of things. I know that's a fact in my case. I'd be better off not to remember some of the things that I do. But we are told by that one offering, by that one perfect sacrifice, he's put our sins away, never to be remembered against us anymore. Amen. And being obedient to the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the one purpose, certainly one of the main purposes that God has in the past and still today, calls men, separates them to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, is so that his people, once they're born of the Spirit of God, once they're quickened, regenerated, may have that gospel of peace, that gospel of rest, that gospel of a finished work, that gospel that says that where sin abounded, now grace much more abounds. And that gospel which teaches that man by his best efforts could never do enough work in this flesh, too weak to perfectly obey the commands and the law of God, that what the man could never do for himself, this one who came down from heaven, who fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies, who was promised to Abraham, God promised Abraham that in his seed all nations of the earth should be blessed. He promised the same promise to Isaac, and the same promise to Jacob, and to the fourth son of Jacob, Judah, as Jacob was departing. And he gave a prophecy for each of his 12 sons. And he said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver between his feet until Shiloh come. Shiloh meaning peace, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Do you realize, brothers and sisters, that's still taking place? That prophecy is still being fulfilled right now, today. There's still a gathering taking place. Till the Lord comes again, he'll continue to gather. I think there's an old hymn, I can't remember how it goes, but it's talking about gathering his jewels. And in the book of Malachi, his people are called his jewels. He's still gathering his people, still quickening them by his Spirit. And our responsibility, if we're called to preach the gospel of the grace of God, is so that people can hear it, believe it, submit to it, be reconciled to it. and be reconciled to the fact that there's no good in any of us by nature. There's nothing we can do to obtain favor with God, as I said, unless and until we've been born of the Spirit of God. We're dead in trespasses and in sins and spiritual things, our foolishness unto us. But rest assured, and I've repeated this so much, and I worry sometimes that I repeat the same things over and over, but I'm going to repeat it to you again today. Rest assured that whatever God has promised, He will perform. I can make you all kind of promises, and I try not to do that. I think back under the law, they were told it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not to keep it. It's better not to make a promise than to make a promise that you can't keep. And you may promise somebody something with the very best intentions, and something may occur that makes it impossible for you to keep that promise that you've made. Not so with the great God of heaven, who doeth His will among the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and none can say unto Him, none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Among whom ye are also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said he was called to be an apostle. Now he's writing to those that are at Rome and said they're the called of Jesus Christ. And then he said they're called to be saints. Many times in the Scripture, it talks about the calling of God, and the big majority of God's people that live and dwell on the earth right now, they have no comprehension or just don't believe in the call of God. Or else they believe that God calls everybody and some answer the call and some don't. God's call is, I don't know who came up with this term. It's a little too scholarly for my taste, but it's used frequently, an effectual call. And that word effectual simply means that it doesn't fail to accomplish what it's sent to do. When God calls, when He speaks, there is a response. This is the one that spoke the universe into existence, that spoke into the darkness and said, let there be light, and there was light. That command that speaks into the hearts of His people and commands the light to shine, the marvelous light is what the Scripture calls it. And everyone is called. I'll close with something familiar. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. It's an unbreakable chain. You've heard that many times. It's unbreakable because it's sustained and it is worked out, worked forth, worked within His people. It's the work of God in His people. And the last verse following that 30th verse of Romans 8, verse 31. When God blesses us to think about this, this will give you cheer on the darkest day and in the darkest of times. It says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And I always say there's lots of things against us. A lot of times we're even against our own self. This will be my closing remark, I promise. But I heard this a lot when I was young. Well, yes, it teaches in the Scripture that there's absolutely nothing that can separate God's people from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And it declares there that I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. No man will pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I've heard then a qualifier added to that. Nothing can separate you from the love of God except you yourself. Nothing can pluck you out of His hand except you yourself. Folks, what's the greatest enemy that we have in this life? We got great enemies. Satan certainly is our enemy. I don't have to explain that. You know. And you know when I do good, evil's present with me. And you know, brother, we talked about this. We know that on the ride to church on Saturday or on Sunday morning, a lot of times Satan, it seems like, hops right in the car and just does everything he can to disrupt your thoughts as you're driving down the road, and he doesn't stop outside the door. Sometimes he comes right inside the meeting house and sits here and attacks your mind even as you're gathered together in the Lord's name. That's how he operates. The scripture says we're not ignorant of his devices. But I'll say to you again, I believe God, the greatest enemy we have, even above Satan, is this old nature that we were born with. And I don't believe that God, in his infinite love, mercy, wisdom, and power, would save us from all other enemies except from the greatest enemy that we have.
Amen.
You can just banish that thought, or perish that thought. Put it out of your mind. God said nothing will ever separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brothers and sisters, we can stand upon that. However we're feeling any particular day, that fact and every other promise of God stands sure and stands in our Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive and alive forevermore. All right, I'm going to make way and pray the Lord will continue to bless in the remainder of this meeting.